worship, a little different schedule than normal, but that's okay. Nothing wrong with a little bit of change every now and then. I just knew that this would be a great time just to worship in song. Last Sunday night, we started a little series and on worship, what worship is all about. And, man, I think this is a great place just to talk a little bit. How does music fit in worship? And so that's kind of what we want to look at. I want you to turn to two places, and you're going to use your bulletin, use your pen, but look at Ephesians chapter 5, and we're also going to look at Colossians chapter 3. We're going to be in both places back and forth this morning. We started talking about worship, and last week we looked at worship, I think from Romans 12, 1, where acceptable worship is where we present everything that we are, our bodies, we present them to the Lord. You know, worship is more than just 20 or 30 minutes on a Sunday morning. God wants every minute of every second of every day of our life. He wants all of us. And that's what real worship is. I saw this quote this week. It says, don't think of it as a worship service. Think of it as in terms of service worship. And that's what Romans 12 is about. That reasonable worship is presenting our bodies to Him as living sacrifices. Last Sunday morning, we celebrated what the greatest act of service was all about when Jesus gave His life on the cross. And we celebrated that when we came to the Lord's table last Sunday morning. And God wants us to be like Jesus, doesn't He? God wants us to be like Him. He was the greatest servant that ever lived. And so I think it's important that every now and then we pick up a towel. We look for those needs. We look for places where we can serve. And that's some of the greatest worship that there is, when we're serving others and meeting people's needs. But there's also that place in worship where we bring our voices and we sing and we worship through music, which is what we do on Sunday morning. When I was looking up the word worship in my Strong's dictionary, I came across four or five different ways the word worship is used. And two of them in particular kind of jumped out at me. And the first one is this: worship can be described as something that we do as service, labor, work. All of that's involved in worship. Now, I think there's a negative idea wrapped around that, because too many of us think that we can do something to earn God's approval. That's not the kind of worship we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of labor, the kind of service, the kind of doing that involves meeting needs and doing it out of love and out of concern and out of our ideal of wanting to worship Him. And when I looked at that ideal of worship, and then the other ideal of worship that we looked at has the ideal of bowing, bending the knee, falling before Him, that kind of worship. And what, when you put those two ideas together, if I don't submit, bend the knee, kneel before Him and give everything that I am to Him, then the other kind of worship that involves doing something doesn't really mean much, does it? Because rather than doing it for Him and out of love for Him, and because we just want to serve Him, if we're not submitted to Him, then over here all we're doing is tooting my horn and saying, hey, look at me, I'm worshiping. And that doesn't mean much, does it? And so the ideal of willingly submitting ourselves to Him, here's what I said. We do the first one, serve, because we've submitted. We've bowed our knee to Him who's given so much for us. That's the ideal of worship. We serve because we're surrendered. We worship because we're submitted. We worship because He gave everything for us. Look at what Psalms 95 says, and I have it on the board. It's going to be a lot of scripture reading. He says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. And we're the people He watches over, the flock that's under His care. I think too many times, and you've heard this quote before, that we work, We worship our work. We work at our play. And we play at worship. We've got it all mixed up, don't we? God wants us to worship Him. And when it comes to music, I think that music has a huge place in our worship and our praise to God. Music was sang, song. They're singing all the way from Genesis to Revelation. English wasn't one of my strong suits, so yes, sir, y'all go ahead and laugh. But if you remember Job's conversation with God, look at what it said in Job chapter 38. God says, because Job's having this pity party, okay? And God says, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you know so much. Who determined its dimensions and the stretch and stretched out the surveying line? What supports its foundation and who laid its cornerstone? Watch this. As the morning stars sang together and all of the angels shouted for joy. God says that at the very beginning, when He began to create, man, singing started in celebration and praise to Him. And then look what happened at the end of our Bible, in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. Look what it says in verse 11. He says, "Then I looked, and I heard one of the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne, and of the living beings and the elders. And it says, and they sang in a mighty chorus, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" And then John says, "I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, 'Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.'" And it says, "The four living beings said, 'Amen.'" And the 24 elders, I think that's the church, the 24 elders fell down and they worshiped the Lamb. So at the very beginning, at creation, there was singing. At the end, when He comes back, what we're going to be doing? We're going to be singing. And we're going to be worshiping Him. And so worship music has an important part to play in the worship of Jesus Christ. And so I think that we're in a great place this morning to worship Him and to serve Him and to sing to Him while we do what? Wait for Him to come get us. While we wait for His return, we worship and we sing. And so tonight we may talk a little bit more about just some technical stuff when it comes to worship. But this morning, I want us to look at least four things as we see what the Bible has to say. Because I thought this was kind of clever. The Bible doesn't give us an order of service when it comes to worship Him. But it does tell us there ought to be some things involved. We ought to be doing some things, and there's some important things that ought to be involved in our worship of Jesus Christ. And so look what it says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with our heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all of the things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." And then turn over to Colossians chapter 3. And look what it says in verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Several things I want to point out this morning. And the first one is this, is God's word should be important when it comes to worship. God's word has to be a priority. Both places say with psalms. And I think it literally talking about the 150 psalms that we have here in the Bible. With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God's word plays a very important part. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs in Ephesians, I get it right. And then in Colossians, the same thing. Then there's another part that I think is very important. Number two is the heart is way more important than the how. Does that make sense? Our heart, our attitude is way more important than drums and Glenn, great job. It's more important than pianos It's more important than music. It's more important than 4 or 5 part harmony. Our heart is way more important. Because if without the heart being in the right place, like I said, all the rest is just tooting my horn and patting myself on the back and saying, hey, look at me. The heart's more important. Look at what it says in Ephesians 5:19. He says, you make melody, what? With your heart to God. Colossians says this, let the word of God richly dwell within you. And then he says, singing with thanksgiving, with thankfulness in your heart to God. So Paul's very clear that our attitude, that attitude of what? Thanksgiving, has to be there. That's so important when it comes to our worship. And he says there in Colossians in that passage that God's word needs to dwell. What does dwell mean? If I say, Miss Judy, where do you dwell? Huh? Where do you live? Right now, still in Morton, correct? Trying to get to Anton, but right halfway. She lives in 2 places, okay? She has a summer home and a winter. No, I'm kidding. They wished. But where does God's word dwell? Where does it live? Does God's word live in you? I said it last Sunday night, and that's one of the things I appreciate about the way Joshua leads us in worship, is because he makes sure that what we sing, we can go to Scripture and we can find it. Because if it's not there, then what are we doing? It's got to come from God. It's got to originate there from God's Word. So God's Word plays an important part in our hearts. The how is way more important. I mean, our hearts are way more important than the how we do it. Because, man, there are places that they may not see. There's places they may just have a little light bulb and a stool and 1 page out of God's Word, and they're reading that and they worship. It's the heart that's way more important. Look at the third thing that we see when it comes to worship. Is we worship with others as we worship Him. We worship with others. Ephesians 5 says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as we do what? As we make melody in our hearts to Him, to the Lord. So we do it with other people. Colossians 3 says the same thing. With all teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs as we sing with thanksgiving in our heart to Him. It's our music. When we sing, it ought to be encouraging. It ought to be lifting up somebody else as we worship. We're to keep each other in mind as we're praising the Lord. And that's why I think that when we worship, man, if I'm causing you to watch me instead of worship Him, then I've got my priorities wrong. If my worship is distracting to you, then we need to check our hearts. Because what I do in worship ought not be distracting to you. What I do in worship ought to be encouraging to you. We ought to encourage one another. And let me just throw this in here. That may mean, as I'm serving Joshua, it may mean that I sing a song that he loves and I don't particularly like the style so much. Why? I'm trying to encourage him. But guess what, folks? That's a two-way street, isn't it? That means Josh may every now and then, he may need to sing Victory in Jesus, all three verses. And I know he loves it. But it may mean that you got to sing something that your neighbor likes that you may not particularly like. It's a two-way street. We encourage each other as we worship. And again, Joshua, I think you do an awesome job of just kind of bringing it all together for all of us. Number 4, we're to speak and sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So we speak and we sing. We do both when we come together. I think that's what he tried to do with incorporating scripture reading as we sing. And you understand that the scriptures that he's reading, then we're singing the songs that just back up what he just read. We do both as we worship. I think that means that all three should be present. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And just quick definitions, I think that part of the 150 psalms that we see in Scripture, they ought to be part of our worship. My son has got me hooked on a group called Shane and Shane, and my favorite album is their Psalms album. It's just singing scripture back to him. It's amazing how encouraging that is. But I think that's part of what that means, those Psalms. When we talk about hymns, the definition of hymn is something that can be defined as poetry that praises God. It praises who he is. It praises his worth, his value, all that he is. A hymn. An example of a hymn is found in Romans 15:9. He says, he also came so that the Gentiles might give glory to God for his mercies to them. That is what the psalmist meant when he wrote, for this I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing praises to your name. Why? Because of his mercy to us. That's worth praising God over, his mercy. The message says it this way, and I love it. It says, as a result, the non-Jewish outsiders, they've been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation to God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do. For instance, I'll join outsiders in a hymn sing. I'll sing to your name. We're going to do that forever and ever when we're in eternity with folks that are like us and folks that you thought maybe weren't going to make it because they were a little different than you. We're going to sing together and worship him for his mercy to us. A hymn sing. I like that word. I'm not real sure that Paul and Silas were singing Victory in Jesus when they were in the prison, but they were singing some kind of hymn, and as they were singing the hymn, the earthquake came, and that was so fun to do during Vacation Bible School, to sing and to throw the chains off and see the handcuffs come off. Yeah, we locked up some of the kids in handcuffs during Bible school, and they wanted to get the handcuffs off. But we did that in the midst of worshiping God. They were singing some kind of a hymn when that prison began to shake. And then the last thing is just spiritual songs. Songs that can be sung directly to him or about him. They contain scripture. They talk about his attributes, his character. We did that at camp this year. We did a praying out loud in one of our services, and the MC gave us, he said, when we're talking about God and his attributes, just start with A and think of an attribute that belongs to God, and then B, and then C, and work your way through the alphabet. And it was amazing to hear those students working through the alphabet, just talking about different attributes of God as they went through the alphabet. Some of them were saying A, B, B is C, D, it was fun. We sing about who he is and his attributes. James said it this way, is any among you suffering? Then pray. But he said, if anybody's cheerful, then sing. It ought to show in our lifestyle. Sing. Psalms 96:2 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Proclaim good tidings for his salvation from day to day. Now, there's a lot of new songs being written today. This psalmist, he uses the word sing, if you see, three times. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Why does he repeat himself? He's wanting to get our attention. Much like we sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It's important. He's trying to get our attention. He's trying to make a point. And he uses that word new song. In the book of Psalms, that word new song is used six times. And basically what he's saying is the writer's just bursting out in a song about something that God has done, about one of his attributes, about his character, his nature. And it may not be, he may just be making it up as he goes along. My dad's good at that. It's just kind of making up songs as he goes along. But when they're about God and his character, I think that's what this is talking about. That new song that just comes out of your heart because you love him and want to worship him so much. So as we sing, Josh is fixing to come back up and lead us in a few more songs. And I'm just telling you now, the altar is open during that time. If you need to respond, I'll be here at the front to help you. But let me just share four things quickly as they come. Number one, and this is an important, hear me. We're never going to fight over music and argue over music in this church. I read an article that says a whole lot of sinning starts when you start fighting over singing. So it's just not worth fighting over. We're going to sing, and we're going to worship God. 1 Timothy says this, in every place of worship, Paul told Timothy, I want men to pray with holy hands lifted up to God, free from anger and free from controversy. So we're just going to sing. Number two, one writer said that worship is not the same thing as singing. I think that means we don't necessarily have to sing and do worship. But it's okay to do both. But singing is not the same as worship. Does that make sense? Here's what Paul said. Our worship is reasonable, and spiritual worship involves submitting our whole hearts to Him as we live. Third thing I want us to see is that when you read verses in Ephesians and Colossians, we see that our worship should do two things. We lift up the name of Jesus, and we encourage each other. That's what we do when we worship. We lift Him up, and we encourage each other to do the same thing. And then the last thing is that we're to give God our best when we worship. That means I don't have to carry a tune in a bucket. Some of us can't. But we can worship with our hearts. And we can sing. And maybe all you can do is you can't sing, but you can clap your hands. Church, that's okay to clap your hands during worship. If you're not drawing attention to yourself and it's coming out of a heart that just wants to love and serve Him. We give God our best. You know what I think that also means? And I'm through. That sometimes giving Him our best during this time means that there's some things that we need to do the night before to get ready to do what we do this morning. So sometimes it means going to bed early. It means resting. It means calming yourself down as you come in here. It means praying. It means spend some time in repentance and confession so that when we come in here, we're ready to worship the God who gave so much for us. God, in these next few minutes, as we wrap up this time that we've set aside to worship You, Lord, I pray that we don't walk out the door and stop. I pray that we leave this place in a continual attitude of worship in the things that we do and the things that we say and the way that we live. Lord, I pray that it would all be pleasing to You. Lord, in these next few moments, if there's someone here that's never trusted You as Lord and Savior, what a great act of worship by just giving their heart and their life to You for the first time. And if there's someone here that needs to do that, I pray they would respond today. They would come forward. Lord, as this altar is open, maybe during our time of worship, we just need to come here and leave some things to You or confess some things. Whatever that looks like, Lord, I pray it would be done, that we would do it in an act of worship to You. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand together as we sing?
Let's sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Sing with me.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever wilt be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, New mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Summer and winter,
summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above.
Join with all nature,
join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy grace.
love. Great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I.
All I have. Pardon for sin.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all.
Raise your voice and great is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have need is thy hand hath provided.
Sing.
Great
is thy faithfulness.
Great is thy faith.
Sing one more time.
Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Sing worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring.
Worthy of every breath.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Jesus.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save.
Worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Sing holy.
Holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Lift your voices.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Yes, you are, Lord.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever breathe.
You are worthy.
Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you.
Sing Jesus, the name above every other name.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you.
Sing holy.
Holy. There is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those are
holy,
holy. There is no one like. is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
So this is where we make our declaration to the Lord. This is where we say, I'm going to build my life upon your love because it is my firm foundation. This is where we sing to Jesus. So as we sing this together, and we've heard that worship is more about the heart than it is about the how, we've heard that our songs and our praises actually mean something to God, let us proclaim this, that we will build our life upon His love and His love alone.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not be.
I will build my life.
And I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. And I will not
sing holy and holy. Just lift our voices, sing holy.
Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those of.
Everything that hinders us, sin that is so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that's marked out for us. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For joy is set before him, he endures the cross, scorning the shame, and set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endures such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.
As we bring our service to a close, after hearing from the Word, after hearing some encouragement, some admonishment, I pray that your heart has been lifted. I pray that you've been encouraged. I pray that the Word of God has spoken to you. And so as we close together, let us sing as one congregation, a familiar song. Let us sing of His grace. Let us sing of His beautiful grace that saved a bunch of wretches like us. Sing with me.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
'Twas grace.
It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear.
hour I first believe. My chains are gone. Let's sing with joy. My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Let's sing My Chains Are Gone one last time. My chains are gone.
I've been set free.
My God,
my Savior.
Like a flood, and like a flood, His mercy reigns, unending love, unending love, unending love, amazing grace. And so, Lord, with all of the honor and adoration and admiration and love and joy in our hearts, we lift praises to You. We pray that as we go, we continue to lift praises to You. That as we sit and have lunch, and as we rest in our homes, as we go back to work, as we come home tired after work, as we wake up early, that we would continue to sing praises to You, continue to admonish You for who You are, continue to lift You up. Lord, soften our hearts through this week. Bless us, Lord, as You have already so richly blessed us, Lord. Help us to so richly praise You for Your blessings, Lord. As we go, keep us in Your will. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, church. You are dismissed.